We're now in the fifth week of our Easter season theme on redemption. And again, redemption is that way that we experience God's salvation, that our Lord suffered, died, and rose from the dead to save us in the ways that we could not save ourselves, to redeem us in the ways we could not redeem ourselves. Last week, we especially reflected on the parable of the Good Shepherd and of how the Good Shepherd helps us to come to know what it means to have an unconditional love for us and how that unconditional love is what we really hunger for and desire in our lives, especially whenever we experience places of rejection. So often, what can keep us from fully accepting and allowing ourselves to experience the redemption, the salvation that Christ won for us on the cross, is ways we can push that away or that we feel we're not worthy of it because of what's called a rejection wound that we can experience in our lives. But that unconditional love of the Good Shepherd especially heals those places where we can experience that rejection wound and can save us from rejection with that eternal and undying acceptance that God has for each and every single one of us. In today's gospel, we hear of the parable that keeps mentioning this word, remain in me. The Lord keeps repeating this phrase over and over again. And the reason why these words of remain in me are so important for us especially to reflect on today is because someone can experience that salvation, that redemption of God in their lives. They start to have a transformation. They form that relationship with God. But then there can be something that I like to call reversion. We can revert. When we revert, what that means, it's like we go backwards. Rather than going forwards in our relationship, in our journey with God, we go backwards. We start to revert or go back to former vices, temptations, things that we would go to before we started to form that relationship with Christ. And it's something that all of us can experience in our lives. I remember that as a seminarian, when I was studying to be a priest, we had a very regimented discipline in seminary. We would have to wake up at a certain time, go pray at a certain time, go do our classes on philosophy and theology at a certain time, and it was a pretty organized structure. It was easy to keep a disciplined prayer life when the regular seminary year was in session because it was all kind of there. Now, vacation time was a little bit of a different story. Whenever we had vacation time from seminary, it was harder because all of that structure, all those ways of having things kind of planned out, it went to the wayside. And when I was on vacation, I remember that it was a lot harder for me to keep to a disciplined prayer life. In fact, I would always come back in my first couple years of seminary to my seminary spiritual director, and I'd be really discouraged after vacation breaks because I'd say, Father, I did it again. Like, I stopped doing my prayer life. I was undisciplined in things. All these things that I'm doing in seminary, I'm studying to be a priest. And it seems like when I'm on vacation, it seems like I go backwards all in each of these different times. During my first few years in seminary, this was a constant theme. And my spiritual director wisely encouraged and said, Charlie, it's because what's happening is you're reverting. You're going back to some of those former ways. And I said, well, why am I doing that? Why am I reverting? Why am I going backwards to some of that stuff I used to go to? And the priest wisely said, it's because you're not remaining in God. If you don't have that prayer time, if you're not going to, especially in seminary, we go to daily mass, going to mass on a regular basis, then you're going to revert. If you're not taking that time daily, because I found that I would not be praying with scripture oftentimes during those vacation times on a regular basis like I would when I was in seminary. He said, you're going to revert. You have to have those opportunities daily to remain in God if it's going to help you to stay in that truth of how you redeemed, of how you were saved. I share this because by the time we get to the fifth Sunday of Easter, there is something interesting that oftentimes happens. People can start to lose some of that fervor, that energy, that enthusiasm that they had from the Lenten season and during the beginning of the Easter season. Ironically, this is the Sunday when a lot of times we can start to revert, and it never fails. The fifth Sunday of Easter is always the least attended of all the masses, and once again, today has borne fruit of showing, unfortunately, that trend. And it's because it's a way that we as human beings, we kind of start to take our foot off the gas pedal, so to speak. We relax in different ways. We don't keep going with some of those prayer practices that we started during the Lenten seasons and we kept during the first part of the Easter season. In fact, this is the time period where already this week I've had people mentioning to me in different ways, "Father, I'm kind of discouraged. I don't feel as connected to God. I don't feel as fervent as I did in a lot of my prayers, etc. What's going on?" And as I listen and as I hear what they're sharing with me, the words that I offer to them are the same words that that spiritual director offered to me when I was having those reversion moments when I was a seminarian. You're not taking that time to remain in God. The whole purpose of Lent and forming that Lenten discipline is to kind of cut off that stuff that can siphon us away from God. It's why we give up those things. Now, we oftentimes add them back during the Easter season, but sometimes my advice to people is to say, did you miss those things when you gave them up during the Lenten season? And sometimes people will say, well, kind of, or not really. And I'll say, well, maybe you just don't go back to that thing. Maybe that way that you were spending that time watching that particular show rather than praying, maybe you just say, no, I'm just not going to go back to that. And it's interesting because sometimes people are relieved when I say that. They're like, Father, I can do that? I'm like, yeah, you can give up something permanently, right? You don't have to bring it back, right? Now, I'm not giving up my Dr. Pepper permanently yet, but there are moments when even so I'll fast from it again a little bit outside of the Lenten season if I'm getting too attached to it, right? But there's those ways you just kind of ask yourself, what is it that keeps me from remaining in God? And it might not be a bad thing that if you gave it up during the Lenten season, maybe give it up permanently if that's what helps you to remain in God and stay connected in God. But especially what we should always be sure that we're trying to do on a regular basis is what our Lord says when he talks about his word helping us to remain in him and his word helping to prune us. We're all used to the ways that when you prune a branch, right, you're getting rid of what's unhealthy. Crepe myrtles, if you're familiar with crepe myrtles, is the particular plant that I'm always struck by the most. I remember the first time I saw a crepe myrtle got pruned, and I was like, what did you do to that poor plant? It looked like it was nearly killed, and the person went to town on it, and they're like, just wait. And sure enough, it grew back even stronger than it was before, because what was soaking up those nutrients, what was keeping that crepe myrtle from being able to be fully healthy was taken away. And so then it wasn't having something that was diverting those nutrients off to the side and keeping it from being fully healthy. Sometimes we have to have that pruning in our lives. Lent season is literally a pruning season of getting rid of those things that can take us away from that relationship with God. But sometimes during Easter, we add it back, and then we have to realize, maybe I need to prune it out, but prune it out permanently, because we start to realize we don't really need it, and it's choking us off from God. And so this is a good Sunday to say, maybe some of those things I gave up, I should give up permanently and allow that to be pruned off, to be cut off in that permanent way. And when we have time with Scripture, God's Word on a daily basis, it helps us to remain in God, and it also, Scripture helps to prune in different ways. But you'll find that the enemy, the other guy, will try oftentimes to get us to let go of Scripture. It's one of the first things that sometimes we can be tempted if we start to revert or go back into old ways is to stop praying with Scripture. Even for me as a priest, I'll tell you, every Sunday night, without fail. Once again, I know tonight I'll have the temptation once again. I have the hardest time of all of the prayer periods during the entire week. Sunday night is the hardest for me. Because after a busy weekend of various masses, etc., praying in so many ways, that little voice in my head says, you've been a good priest. You prayed and led other people in prayer. You can let that one night prayer or evening prayer slide. And guess what happens? If I listen to that voice and I let that particular scripture or prayer period slide, then the voice continues with, you've been good. Now you can binge on Star Trek. I'm a Star Trekkie, all right? Or Star Wars or whatever, right? An evil equivalent of Netflix or whatever streaming service, right? Well, it just makes it so easy because you don't even have to do anything. It'll just load up the next episode for you, right? And that 5-second delay is evil because you're literally wrestling with yourself during that 5 seconds, right? And then it goes on to the next one, and you're like, well, it's already on the next episode. I might as well just watch it, right? But that's how it goes, right? So for me, I know every Sunday night, that's going to be the battle that I'm going to have because Monday's my day off. So again, take the foot off the gas pedal, so to speak, and the enemy wants to cut off those ways that we remain in God and get us in that slightest little bit of a way to start taking little back steps. Because he knows we won't take the big back step, but we'll take those little ones bit by bit if we permit it. So we should always remember the Word of God, praying with Scripture as that way that helps us to remain in God and to resist the way that we can start to have that backsliding, that reversion. Another important way that helps us to keep from backsliding and going back into former ways is when we stay connected in community. Here at St. Albert the Great, we've been trying to make pushes for small groups. And the reason why we keep mentioning small groups so much is because small groups are one of the best ways of being able to remain connected to God. After God's Word, the most important thing of helping one to stay in the truth of one's redemption, of one's salvation, and to grow as a follower, as a disciple of God, is by being part of a small group. Because if that voice starts to discourage us, starts to cut us off, starts to want us to say, you don't have to go to Mass this particular Sunday or skip that prayer time, but we have a community, we have a small group with us that helps to keep us accountable, helps to encourage us, they will help us to resist that temptation to revert and to backslide. And it never fails. If someone's going to go away in their relationship with God, small groups or disconnecting from the community is the first thing that happens. Because the enemy knows that if we have that small group connection, we have those people that we're staying in relationship with, we're going to resist his lies. But if that's taken out, it's a lot easier for us to start listening to those voices that we have to no longer remain in connection with God and again to go back into those things we used to go back to. So that's why after Mass today, there's an opportunity to sign up for small groups. We'll be entering into a Beatitude 5-week study pretty soon. And so you can find out more information about that after Mass. And especially for young adults, just a reminder that our Abide Young Adult Group meets on Wednesdays. And that's a great opportunity also to stay connected, to continue to remain, and to abide with God. The reason why that particular group is called Abide comes from this particular gospel passage and of that importance of remaining with God or abiding with God so that we stay connected and so that we don't go back into our former ways but stay in that truth of who God made us to be and remember that we have been saved and we've been redeemed and we can maintain that as long as we remain in Him.